in, finally pushing it all the way in and holding it for a few seconds.
Well done, Doc. Probably just pure luck, though.
No. When I was a student at Harvard, I had a single-room apartment with a shared water closet. The flushing mechanism was, to put it mildly, very erratic. I simply administered a similar technique through this door.
The door was nearly 18 inches off the floor. Ryan ducked, peered quickly into the passage beyond, and rolled underneath.
Let's move!
Christy caught Mildred by the sleeve as they waited their turn.
What's going to happen here?
If it's what I think it is, honey, then you don't want to know. Believe me, the faster we get and jump, the better.
Mildred bent and crawled under the door, which seemed to be moving more and more slowly. A few seconds later, they were all safely through the gap, facing the stairs and the long expanse of curved passageway.
Jack, you're fastest. Take off. Go straight to the outer door and throw the green lever up. The rest of us will follow at our best speeds. Go!
The albino vanished, running almost silently out of their sight.
Time's snarling at our back. Everyone go for it!
2 minutes to purging throughout sections 4 and 5. 7 minutes to terminal vacuum. Unless personnel are in proximity to exits, they must use emergency air facilities as instructed by code J for Juliet. These sections are now on full alert.
It seemed to take much longer returning to the gateway than coming from it had been. Everyone did their best. Dean was lightning, only yards slower than Jack. Christy was probably the next fastest, even in her western boots, with Ryan and JP all capable of great speed. Then the problems began. Trader wasn't bad at keeping up, but his breathing quickly became hoarse, and he had to stop twice, once by the scene of the firing squad executions, to double over and cough. Dave had so many old injuries to legs and feet that running was always difficult. And Doc would never have claimed to be God's gift to the 800-meter dash.
Final warning of air supply purge to sections 4 and 5 in 60 seconds from the tone. 60 seconds and counting. 6 minutes to terminal vacuum. Personnel to take emergency precautions now. Repeat now.
Not going to make it, lover.
We will. It'll take 5 minutes before all the air sucked out.
Doc won't make it.
Christy glanced over her shoulder to see the ominous way that the group was stretching out behind her. Doc and Abe were now out of sight. Meanwhile, Jack stood by the raised sec door, looking for the others. Dean had just joined him, but the rest of the group still hadn't arrived.
Dad's coming! Then Christy next!
Time's up!
Purging has commenced in sections 4 and 5, and will be completed in 4 minutes and 45 seconds. All personnel must follow the prescribed emergency procedures immediately.
There's Dad and Christy!
The generators began to remove the tainted air from the two sections of the complex. Once that was done, then fresh air would be drawn in from exterior vents and flooded through the passages and rooms. But that would be too late for anyone trapped inside during the purging procedures. Ryan arrived, sweat beating his forehead, with Christy at his side.
Get inside! I'll wait for the others!
Christy, Jack, and Dean obeyed him without a moment's hesitation, going through the open doorway into the brightly lit control room. Mildred and JB were next to arrive. The armorer had handed her the Uzi, carrying the Smith & Wesson scattergun in his right hand as he put on a last burst of speed.
Go straight into the chamber!
Trader was now in sight, stumbling toward the entrance to the Matran section.
Want me to stay and help, Ryan?
No. It's under control. Get inside.
Purging of sections 4 and 5 is 40% completed and will terminate 3 minutes from now.
There was only Abe and Doc still to come. The air was definitely much thinner. Ryan could already feel that his heart was working harder, his lungs beginning to struggle for a share of the deteriorating oxygen. Abe appeared around the bend.
Come on! Quick!
I'm coming!
Abe lurched from side to side like a drunken man.
2 minutes to total vacuum in sections 4 and 5. 2 minutes and counting.
How far is Doc behind you?
I don't know. I don't know, Ryan, but where do I go now?
Into the gateway. Listen to me. If I don't make it, tell him not to wait until it's too late. Tell him to shut the doors and jump. You got it?
Yeah, sure. Don't wait until too late. Jump. Yeah. You want me to come and,
No! Just go!
Okay.
Ryan raced into the corridor. It seemed to be shrinking in front of him, The lights overhead were moving and dancing, like figures at the end of time. The air was very thin now, and every step was labored and painful. Ryan had a moment of horrific doubt that he might have lost his bearings, that he was now running away from Doc toward the gateway entrance.
60 seconds before terminal vacuum.
Dear friend!
Doc!
Ryan heaved Doc up off the floor, tossed an arm around his shoulders, and then the two of them stumbled forward together. The air was almost gone. Time and distance blurred into a torturous metaphor for existence, for living and dying. Ryan retained enough of his atavistic combat skill to keep to the left side of the endless wavering passage, knowing that he and Doc would eventually fall in through the open door to the Metran section, miss it, and they were doomed. It seemed as though they fell down, and he lost contact with Doc. For a paralyzed moment, he reached out and found nothing. Nobody. Then, Doc's fingers were in his again.
Nearly there.
Ryan detected a brighter light ahead. But the air was gone. The bright light grew dimmer. Ryan saw the rows of desks, meaning they were so very close now to safety.
Come on, Doc. Last fucking mile.
But a small part of Ryan's mind was conscious that it was probably already over and done. The others would have closed the door to the gateway chamber and would have jumped away to safety. Knowing that made it easier to bear dying. And at last made him angry at the thought of being abandoned by his lover, son, and friends. Then the lights went down, and Ryan Carter became more involved with the enigma of his own passing. It was a pleasant sensation, floating in a lake of dark water so saline that his body lay effortlessly on the surface, unmoving. The temperature was so close to Ryan's blood heat that it was almost like floating inside his own body. Everything was calmness. A gentle, placid glow suffused him, filling him with well-being. Whatever else he might have done in some previous bleak existence, this was all that Ryan now wanted to do for the next hours, days, weeks, months, years. For the whole remainder of infinity.
Stop fucking smiling.
Ryan had a vague, satisfied smile on his face as he floated on and on. There was a tunnel around him, just visible if he opened both his eyes. Walls and ceiling of slick black marble, moving quietly by him.
He's slipping away, Christy. I don't get it. It's like he stopped fighting.
The walls were coming closer. The ceiling was lowering, drawing nearer to him. But none of that mattered to Ryan. Not compared to the wonderful lethargy that wrapped itself around him, like a grinning serpent.
Dean, you try. Speak to him. Loud. He's not hearing us. If we don't bring him back now, then I'm afraid he's gone from us forever.
Ryan drifted faster down the shrinking tunnel.
Quick, Dean. Pulse is still going down. We're losing him.
Faces. Mother and father. Brother. The smile eased away from Ryan's face. Tumbling hair, burnished and brighter than the most heavenly sunrise. A young boy, dark, curly hair, serious eyes. Was that boy himself?
Dad!
Dad, you gotta fight. Gotta come back to us, Dad. Don't just give up.
Ryan swallowed, closing and opening his eye. He was lying flat on his back on a dormitory bed, feeling cold, with a circle of faces staring down at him.
Yeah.
I gather from our preeminent medical authority, as Dr. Wyeth likes to see herself, that I had passed out from oxygen deprivation rather more quickly than you did, as my body had effectively closed itself down on all fronts The damage from the air being sucked away was, consequently,